organize, and I think it's from Pat's Barbecue. Is that right? So it's going to be right down the street. They're going to bring it up here. We're going to have a sit-down time. And then afterwards, I think we need a bunch of volunteers to help clean up. So just don't run out as soon as we get some other things to do, okay? This next message is really tied to what we just got done talking about, the idea of our forgiveness and understanding and grasping our forgiveness. And I love this message. This is something that I've been thinking about for years and years and years. And let's just start with this verse. To me, it's profound. 2 Peter 1:8. He's talking about making every effort to get these qualities, these fruits of the Spirit, get these qualities in your life. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, Peter says, they will keep you, listen, from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's a lot of people, and we can fall into this camp if we're not careful. We can have head knowledge of Christ. It's like one of the guys I talked to, I mentioned this on last Saturday night, this guy in particular. He was just been raised in a Christian church and knew the lingo, and yeah, I'm going to heaven, and Jesus died for my sins, and we were talking, and then I just stopped and asked him about, how do you know for sure, you know? What's going to get you into heaven? What is it that makes you different? And he just went, gosh, I just don't know. I mean, can you be a Bible-believing, eternal faith-trusting Christian if you don't know how you're going to heaven? You had no clue. You're just, I mean, to say, I don't know how I'm going to get to heaven. Can that even be the case? That you don't at least mention something about Jesus? But a lot of Christians have head knowledge about a lot of things, including their forgiveness. And it affects your life if you don't take this knowledge and live it. It'll make you be ineffective. It'll make you be unproductive. I think that pretty much spells out Christianity in this country. Ineffective and unproductive for the most part. Not everywhere, certainly. But by and large, we have some million, I can't remember, 30 million professed born-again Christians. Over half of them don't believe Jesus literally rose from the dead. And they're being very ineffective, aren't they? If we have that many million born-again Christians in our country, I think we should sense there should be some difference. There's not. I think it's raining. Let's go on. Verse 9, it says, but if anyone does not have them, these qualities, the fruits of the Spirit in your life, production, you're being effective. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and underline this, he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So what is it that Peter says very succinctly here that keeps us from being productive and effective as Christians? Well, one of the main things, it seems like, is this whole idea of not understanding you're forgiven. If you struggle with that, with what I just talked about, you know what? There's a good chance you're not as productive or as effective as a Christian as you could be. If you don't really grasp that bucket of forgiveness, I'm forgiven, nothing can shake that. Not me or anybody else. You run the risk of being ineffective and unproductive because you've forgotten something. You've forgotten who you are. You may know it in your head, but do you know it in your heart that you have been forgiven? All your sins have been cleansed. In my experience with counseling, talking with people over the years, I find a lot of Christians with low self-esteem that are making no impact for the kingdom whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the reason I'm talking to them is because they're probably struggling with something. They're probably, you know, going the opposite direction with their life, with their marriage, with their witness, with their habits. They're having struggles. They're going the opposite way. They're not making progress for Christ. They're, you know, going this way. A lot of Christians find themselves in that predicament. Confusion, thoughts of suicide. You know what? Christian counseling is thriving. There's no lack of work for Christian counselors. because we're messed up. And I think one of the keys is not understanding our forgiveness. And in fact, when we don't understand our forgiveness, it affects everything about us. Our psyche, our mental health, our physical health, it affects everything. And it keeps us from being productive. I think we've got a major crisis, an identity crisis as Christians. We don't understand who we are. We don't believe who we are. We don't believe we're truly forgiven, that we're a child of the King, and therefore we don't act that way. There's no difference, quite often, in the Christian world from the world they live in. Here's a quote. Most Christians, if put on trial for their faith, would be found innocent for lack of evidence against them. There's no evidence of the new birth. There's no evidence that Christ lives in you. There's no evidence that you believe so much you're forgiven that your actions are changing. The people that work with you have no clue you're a Christian. They wouldn't want your life. You know, we should be such an example. People are dying to find out what it is that makes you different. I think this is a key, understanding your forgiveness. If you can wrap your arms around that, believe it, listen to this tape that we tape. We're taping this, right? Listen to it over, over, and over. Well, there's other tapes. You know those two tapes I mentioned last night that I listened to for a year? Those are online, by the way. If you want to listen to those, you can go and listen to them. And you'll see that I spoke a lot of what Jim spoke. Well, that happens when you brainwash yourself for 300 days, you know. I believe it. It's part of me now. You can go to our website on special messages. I've got both those messages. You can download them, listen to them. Honestly, the divorce rate, immorality, adultery. I mean, I marry people now, and they call me 3 months later. You know, people that aren't really tied into our church, I'll marry them. I'll counsel them for months and months and months. I've had somebody call me, and they've been married for 6 months, and we need a divorce. And I was thinking, did you not listen to anything I said in all those marriage counseling sessions? Did you not listen to anything? Well, he lied to me, so I shouldn't have to stay with him, right? Are you even on the same planet that I am? So you're saying your husband sinned against you, so you should be able to divorce him? Let me ask you, have you done anything against him? Do you think you should just get up and leave then? Does he have the right to? Of course you can't leave him. My goodness, Christian, we have head knowledge, but it doesn't sink in, it doesn't seem like. I don't know what's going on. But I don't see a huge difference between the Christian world and the world out there. I think it's this issue right here. Where's the power? Where's the abundant life? Where's the joy? Why aren't we experiencing it? You can. I do. You can. I believe God loves me. I believe God has forgiven me of every sin I've ever committed. And I believe because of that, I am who I am. My life is a reflection of those two truths in the way that I'm going to share with you today, this last session. I think differently because of those two truths. I think the answer is to discover your identity, your forgiveness, because our actions will always follow who we think we are, as you're going to see in a minute. So what I want to do is start with a clip that I've used. I took this video with me, this very video, to Ukraine with me and showed it to a bunch of Ukrainian leaders and taught a similar message. This is from The Lion King. You've probably seen me show it if you've been around a while. Actually, I haven't taught this for actually about 4 years, I think. But I'm reading a whole book by Bob George on Christian identity that, man, I just want to do a whole series on this because it's so crucial. And he's speaking exactly what I have been living the last number of years. Anyway, in this clip, you haven't watched Lion King for a while. Simba is the true king, is he not? He's a child king. He's a son of Mufasa, who died. And now Simba, because of his guilty conscience, has run away. And he's abdicated the throne to his evil cousin or uncle Scar. Scar has now ruined the kingdom. This is a beautiful illustration, a beautiful analogy to our forgiveness and understanding who we are in so many ways. So Simba, they finally find Simba. He's out chilling out, you know, Makuna Katata or whatever that is, you know. And he's just kind of, whoa, just hanging out instead of doing what he's supposed to be doing, being productive and effective. In the role that he was called to, that he was rightly called to. He's a child of the king, and he's out just chilling out. And how many Christians I know that are children of the king, and they're just chilling out? They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not out winning souls for Christ. Winning, building, and sending, they're out playing. That's what Simba's doing when he's finally caught and challenged with his true identity. Christian, I want to challenge you with your true identity, your forgiveness, who you really are because you're forgiven. Now, I want you to watch, after Simba's challenge, see how his relationship to his father, Mufasa, who is dead, but you'll understand when you watch it, his relationship, how that changes him when he finally locks into, oh, this is who I am. And then Simba's actions don't change once he realizes who he really is. Actions follow our identity. That's the point. So watch this clip. It's kind of a long clip, but you'll like it.